You're listening to the Inspire Excellence Podcast, recorded at the BVA headquarters with your hosts, Troy McClain and Tommy Ahlquist. Each episode is focused on shedding new light on different perspectives to create dialogue that inspires excellence.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Inspire Excellence Podcast with Tommy Ahlquist, Troy McClain. This is our Thanksgiving edition. And today we have a very special guest. We have Bill Roscoe with the Boise Mission. Bill, welcome aboard.
Thank you so much, Troy. Great to be with you guys.
Thank you very much. We're actually just talking about right now, we have, of course, our sidekick over here, McLovin is what we call him.
Maddie McLovin.
Maddie McLovin.
Reverend Bill, got to apologize here before we get started. We're about an hour late, but that's because it is Thanksgiving week.
It is.
And Maddie Rabe and my daughter, Brooklyn, just landed. They live down in Gilbert, Arizona, but they were about an hour late on the flight in. It's nice to have my daughter here.
Absolutely.
She's here. Brooklyn is she's my second oldest, and we call her B. Diddy.
B. Diddy. Hey, you got a nickname.
You should write that down.
B. Diddy? That
is
a good
nickname.
So
here's the story behind her nickname. About 16 years ago, I started a program in the hospital for scribes in the ER. So you'd train young college students to walk around and help you with charting to be more efficient. And one of my first scribes was a kid named Jared Mosier, backup quarterback for Boise State, from Elko, Nevada. Kid that came from nothing and just really made a lot out of his life.
Right.
And at one point, he didn't have a place to live. Mm. It was kind of just... So he came and moved in our house, and then at that time, Brooklyn was about 5 years old, and the day one he moved in with us, he's like, started calling her B. Diddy.
B. Diddy.
And it stuck. And then later, we have a saying around our house, she's like the sunshine.
Yeah.
She's like, she makes everything better. So the saying around our house is, a day without the Diddy ain't a day worth living.
Dude, I love that.
Everyone says it, so... She's here, but that's why we're late. But love her.
That's an excused absence.
That's an excuse.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If it comes from a man of the cloth, you're excused, brother. And you do. You love all your kids, but I'll be very honest with you, B. Diddy. You are the one he talks about the most. I'm not lying.
It's because she's a ray of sunshine. Anyway, it's great to have her. Troy, how you been?
And I've been good. I've been good. We were talking about this earlier. Of course, coming up next after this interview, we got your father. And so we're kind of going from saints to sinners, it sounds like. But your father.
That's right. So for next week's release. Someone heard that Reverend Bill was here and that Tom Sr. was going on next. And the first thing out of her mouth was, "You're going from heaven to hell that quick."
We're practitioner towards greatness. We ain't great yet.
Anyway, Reverend Bill, we have you here this week. It's a big week for families.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, I mean, it's one of my favorite weeks because we do get together as a family, and it's just a lot of nostalgia for us because you just have your traditions, and it's such a warm time in your life. You feel so much love. But several years ago, through my introduction to you, this is also a tough time. This is holidays, Thanksgiving, and a time to give. So we wanted to have you on and talk a little bit about your experience and a little bit about what you're doing this week. So
thank you. And it is a very mixed bag of emotions around the rescue mission. You know, we're all kind of super hyper because we have so much to do and so much going on. And the guests and the program members who stay in our shelters and in our program facilities, they have the whole other side of that mix, you know, because they're there. They're with us. They're not home with mom and apple or pumpkin pie for Thanksgiving. And Christmas is rolling up on us pretty soon. And many of them are alienated from their families. And some are in the process of restoring those relationships. But it's a pretty high level of emotion all around the rescue mission right now. And, of course, we have the big events, the big great Thanksgiving banquet, as we call it. We just had the one in Nampa.
I'm going to just stop you because I really want – listen, I was telling you earlier, I gave a talk in my church a few weeks ago, and I talked about you and what I've learned from you. And I think a couple of the words that come to immediately are grace and just gratitude and service, but the sheer number and volume of people you help. Can you kind of tell our listeners a little bit about the numbers behind what you're pulling off this week?
Well, sure, and thank you for the very, very high compliment, Tommy. That's awfully nice of you. And I'm not going to let you get to know me any better than you do. We'll just let you live in that beautiful place where you are now with Bill Roscoe.
I know you pretty well, buddy.
Sheer numbers. Well, every day we're serving 1,000 meals a day right now, every single day. And every day we have between 400 and 500 men, women, and children sleeping in our shelters, one of our beds somewhere in five different facilities. And with the Thanksgiving holiday, we just served 1,260 meals on Saturday in Nampa over at the college church. And then tomorrow we'll serve another probably 600 to 800 meals at the Cathedral of the Rockies. And in total, we'll give away over 2,000 turkeys and food boxes. And that's just two events. So it's wow. It's a lot of people, a lot of people. And there's a lot of need. And as I've said before and will always say, this is the most generous community on the face of the earth because people like you all come alongside of us and help us to do this, help us get the work done.
Tommy, him and I were talking earlier, and we were talking about how gracious this community is, and we were also talking about how innovation, the best way to get ahead is really to give back, because through that you get innovation. But Roscoe was sharing with me that I was asking him homelessness, like, is it an addiction? What is it? And we were talking that there's different types of homelessness. There's habitual homelessness, and then there's, what were you telling
me? Episodic.
Episodic homelessness. Mm-hmm. Talk about mm-hmm. that a little bit.
Well, you have chronic homelessness, which is the people that you see really in bad shape out on the street every day. And those are people who typically are going to be suffering with mental illness, untreated mental illness, and or a chemical dependent dependency or alcoholism, and that's and they go hand in hand because so many people with mental illness who can't or don't get treatment then self-medicate with alcohol and other drugs. Those are chronically homeless people. They've been out there a long time, and they're going to be out there. They're hard to reach, really hard to reach. But then you have a variety of other people who are homeless because of episodes of life. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember a guy distinctly got hit on his motorcycle, broke both his legs, spent a long time in the hospital, serious injuries. And by the time you get out of the hospital, everything he owned was gone. His apartment was rented to somebody else, and that was it. So he's with us. And you have those people. And you have people that have hospital stays, and they get medical mm-hmm. bills. And you're all over that, Tommy, and mm-hmm. I appreciate your thinking on that. But they can't pay. And pretty soon they're homeless. They're evicted from their apartment. You've got those people. Domestic violence is a rising problem in our valley. And you have ladies who have just had enough. They grab their children and what's clothes on their back and out the door they go, and they'll end up with us as homeless people as well. It's the whole spectrum of humanity. The old saying, you know, I'm only a paycheck away. That's not necessarily true. But on the other hand, it can be pretty close for a lot of people right now because we're seeing people who have never been homeless, always had a place to live, and their rent got jacked up 300, 400 bucks a month. Mm-hmm. They don't make enough money to pay the difference, and they weren't planning on a move, so they didn't have a chance to save anything. All of a sudden, they're homeless. They're evicted, and they're staying with us.
I always, you know, it's interesting because the economy is booming and things are great for so many people. But with that and all the people moving in, it has changed housing, right?
Big time.
And a little shout out to Nora Carpenter with United Way, but United Way has that ALICE study that they look into. So it's asset limited, income constrained, but employed. So these are employed folks that are truly. You look at the math in those budgets, they're one paycheck away from being in trouble. And once you get behind, we've talked a lot about this, it only takes getting behind 1 month, and pretty soon that snowballs and people find themselves homeless. And that's where you step in. Before you go a little, I think for those, we're going to get a little more in depth with you today. Tell us how long you've been here with the Boise Rescue Mission, because you've got an experience and wisdom base that's incredible here in our valley.
I've been here almost 18 years. Yeah. Be 18 years in the spring. I've been working in rescue mission work for 27 years. So the majority of my time is here in this valley. And it's been a learning experience right from the gate. Yeah. And things have changed in 17 years. Rents were really cheap. Housing prices were very low in 02 when I got here.
Yeah.
And that worked to my advantage because we hadn't owned a home in a long time, my wife and I, because we worked in rescue in California and, you know, you don't own homes that way.
That's right.
But we got here and we were able to buy a house. Mm. And we still own a home today, thank God. We've been blessed. So the numbers of people we served has exploded. I mean, I don't remember the numbers back in 02, but it was nothing like today. Nothing like 500 people in bed tonight. Nothing like 1,000 meals a day, every single day.
And what people don't know, too, old Roscoe here, he may have grace, but I'll say this right now, he got grit. Because, you know, he, by the way, he served his country well.
Hey, so I've always, it's either Reverend Bill, and then we get in here with Troy.
Roscoe over here.
Well, listen, man, Roscoe enlisted in 69.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, combat vet, he's the real deal.
He's the real deal.
So I just told him, I said, Roscoe, I got to apologize right up front. Like, every once in a while, I say, like, the S word. And he's like, oh, Troy. He goes, let me tell you, I've served the military well, I served my country well, and I work at a homeless mission. And I used to frame houses. I'm like, all right, good. Tommy, you can't cast judgment on me. He gave me permission.
No, I didn't give him permission. I simply said I understood.
Well, good. I'm glad that he accepts my understanding. But I wanted to say why I thought of Greg.
What he meant to say is, bless you, my son.
Bless you. That's
what he's
going
to say.
Continue to work on it.
Hey, I'll take any blessing I can get from you two. But what I was going to tell you is what I think grit stands for, as I heard him talk and thinking about grit for me as I listened to you, is graciousness, respect, integrity, and trust. Hmm. And as I've heard you talk about Roscoe over and over again, you have trust in his mission. You have trust in his vision. And then you mentioned grace. But in this community, he's got nothing but respect and integrity. Oh. So you to me, you got grit.
Well, thank you, Troy. That's very nice of you to say. I've worked hard at it, I'll be honest with you. You know, I understand my role. I understand who I am at some level in the community. And I've been in this role for 27 years as a rescue mission guy. And prior to that, I had good upbringing. We talked about our families, and my dad and mom taught us to respect our elders and respect people generally and work hard and pay attention to what you're doing. And all those things work together for good. And then, of course, coming into faith and really coming into relationship with God, that's the icing on the cake, you know, and you study the scripture and you pay attention. Take all the training opportunities that you get, and I've got certificates all over the walls, you know, of different classes I've taken. All of that together makes me who I am. And a good family, you know, a strong relationship with family, and particularly been married for 47 years. That's that's taught me a lot, when to sit down and shut up, for example.
I see that with you, Tommy, as well, though. And I'm, if I really think about it and I start looking at these community icons, you guys all talk about family. You all talk about faith, but you do more than talk. You guys live it. And as we think about the best way to get ahead is to give back, as we think about this Thanksgiving Day. First of all, Tommy, when you heard Roscoe, there's a ton of other nonprofits out there. There's a ton of other people you can interview. Why Roscoe?
I'll tell you why Reverend Bill.
Otherwise known as Roscoe.
AKA Roscoe.
On the podcast known as Roscoe. So here's why, because I think, you know, you'll hear me say this a lot. People follow people.
Yeah.
I love authenticity. I love people that are genuine about why they do something. And if I had to define Reverend Bill, it is authentic. It is genuine. Mm-hmm. It's, you feel that sincerity the moment you meet him. And then you look at your organization. It's no mystery to me why the Boise Rescue Mission has experienced such success in recruiting. No government dollars, right?
Right.
This is all...
That's a keynote to say, though.
It's
no
huge.
Government dollars.
Think of no government dollars. And I think one of the things that blew me away as you get around and actually dig into services provided people that are in need, in my time going around the state and looking around, is there are a lot of government programs that don't work really well, that use tremendous amounts of money. And then you have these nonprofit, faith-based organizations doing a tremendous amount of good, all with donations. It's pretty dang humbling. But getting back to your question, why Reverend Bill? Because this guy, to me, represents all that is good about humanity.
Dang, you're deep.
Wow.
No, I'm serious. I just, you can't help but be around him and go, my goodness, every time I leave.
Yeah.
Whether it's the mission, whether it's just an interaction, whether it's with Kevin Miller or whatever, every time we're together, you walk away and you just go, man, I can be better, I can do more, I can give back, and it's because of you. So thank you for being who you are. And I love what you just said earlier on the podcast, that you've worked at it, right? And I think for the listeners out there, sometimes you think, well, it's easy to say if you haven't been through someone's steps, but you have to work at being a leader. You have to practice. You have to try to improve yourself. And I think that's key.
And they overlook, they hear nonprofit. I can tell you right away that when I talk to the young entrepreneurs that I talk to, even those that are a little long in the tooth, they instantly hear nonprofit and they think no innovation. Oh, yeah. That's an innovator right there.
Oh, yeah.
And
I'll tell you about innovating. When you have a no budget and increase a never-ending list of services you need to provide.
Yeah.
If you don't innovate, it's not just that you don't thrive, it's that people suffer.
That's right.
It's a sum-zero game.
It is a sum-zero
game. So it's a sum-zero game. If he doesn't get his job completed, again, so you Idaho innovators that are listening, don't look at the obvious. Look beyond the obvious. You want to find RB. I just graduated from RB, by the way, Reverend Bill.
Ah,
you
good.
See that? Now
good.
You got your nickname.
RB.
Like, hey, you're RB now.
I like it.
I changed it from Roscoe to RB.
B Diddy, RB.
Yeah, yeah, you got B Diddy right there.
B Diddy, RB.
And RB. So, like, you got RB here. And I'm being, like, think about that. You basically have a startup. Forget that it's a nonprofit, but it's a startup. And it's a startup that if you don't make your deadline, somebody goes without. If I don't make my deadline, somebody gets mad. If you don't make your deadline, somebody misses a meal. So that's innovation in itself. You and I were talking earlier, though. How do you... I have a firm opinion that you deserve nothing. This is my honest opinion, and I share it all the time. I'm unapologetic to be Christian. I'm unapologetic when I say that America is the greatest country on God's green earth. I say Merry Christmas. I don't say Happy Holidays. You don't like it? That's okay. I don't judge. But we were talking about accountability and responsibility, and I was asking you, like, well, like, how do you discern that? And how do you teach that to the people? Like, you don't want it to be hotel mission.
That's right. And we work hard to make it that not hotel mission. And you know, in some sectors, I take some heat for that because people think, well, everybody deserves a place to sleep and a place to eat. Well, we do that. We do open the doors to anyone who needs a place to eat and sleep. But if you're going to stay with us for an extended period of time, more than a few nights, then we're going to require a few things of you. Because when you have skin in the game, there you go.
Yeah, skin in the game.
RB's
got it.
Then you have more appreciation for the things you have, and you make them work better for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the morning when you get up at our rescue mission, you're going to have a task. We call them tasks. And you're going to mop the floor today, or you're going to work in the kitchen, you're going to mow the lawn, you're going to answer the phone, you're going to help to do something to give back to the organization that's taking care of you.
Because we got to change the mentality out there. Mm-hmm. And again, you deserve nothing. You earn everything.
Mm-hmm.
RB and I were talking about, you earn the right to get help. You earn the right to have the power of vulnerability to say, I need something. And he's like, man, the power of vulnerability. But you don't deserve anything. You earn everything.
So you do. Yeah. And that's our philosophy at the Rescue Mission. We want to help people to get out of homelessness. Our goal is to see every person comes through the door recover from homelessness.
Yeah.
Move back into the community, be self-sustaining, take care of your family and yourself. And we do that. It's remarkable. And again, it goes back to the community. We can't do this without a lot of help. And people give, and we're able to have the programs that we do. But every year for the last 5 or 6 years, we've had over 500 people who have come into the Rescue Mission homeless and gone out of the Rescue Mission into independent living again, or maybe independent living for the first time.
Wow.
That's an amazing statistic that people need to hear and understand. This is what's going on at the Boise Rescue Mission. Lives are really being changed. It's not just a slogan or a cliche. We're helping people come to terms with life. You know, what do you want to do with your life? Where would you like to be next year and the year after and the year after?
Is there professional coaching, or do you have, like, Tommy and I go down and give a coaching session? Because when I hear, like, him talk, I hear you talk, again, it parallels. You guys parallel a lot of consistencies. The most important thing, he lives it, you live it. Is there an ability to, or can people, sometimes they can't give money, but they can give positive reinforcement.
We are always looking for volunteers, and along those lines is a wonderful thing to have in the house, have people come in. People like you, Troy McLean, TM. People, I'm getting caught up in this. People who can come in and inspire people to step up, to move up, to do better. We're all about that. And of course, the gospel's full of that. And
yeah, sure,
a gospel
it is.
Mission. So
I'm gonna. Thanks for bringing that up, because I'm gonna ask you something. I've had friends and family members and close relationships of service through our church and ministry. With people that have kind of tried everything on their own, they've tried their best.
Yeah.
They're at rock bottom. They're kind of they've kind of just said, I've done everything I can do, and I've given up. And they haven't relied on God.
Mm.
Can you talk a little bit how important it is when you hit that rock bottom where you've struggled, where you've hit rock bottom, you're finally ready to look for help, and then they come into you. How important? So you've taught them responsibility. You're not, you know, you're gonna have to work here. You're gonna have to be part of the team. Probably teach them about family and friendships, and this is how it feels to be loved by someone. But how important is having a higher power to turn to?
Great question.
Everyone needs a higher power.
Yeah.
Everyone needs a higher power. And of course, in our case, we believe that the higher power is God, the Almighty God, and that his agent here is the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And we believe it, we live it. You know, we talked about ups and downs and bumps in the road, and I've had a few. You know, I was a building contractor during Jimmy Carter administration. You may remember those days. I had some bumps in the road, and there was lots of days when I sat out in my truck outside of my house, totally depressed and despondent because I couldn't steal a job. I couldn't work. My wife's working graveyard at the 7-Eleven, and I'm up all night thinking, dear God, please don't let anybody come in and mug and rob my wife and the 7-Eleven. It was awful. But I would sit out there in the truck and I would pray, God help me because I'm down there. I'm down here. I don't see the way out. I need help. And when I would get to that humble place before God, then immediately peace would come and inspiration would come and hope would come. There's hope, Bill. The scripture says so. Work hard, keep working. And I did. And so I can teach that myself. We have Bible teachers who are really good at it. We use curriculum in our programs that are Bible-based curriculum, talking about the power of God and submission and surrender. Not my will, but thy will be done. That's a very important phrase right there. Because I might want to be Dr. Bill Roscoe. Well, that's not going to happen. I'm too old. I don't have the education. And I need to be told, I'm sorry, but that's not going to happen. How about being physician assistant Bill Roscoe or CNA Bill Roscoe? Yeah. And this is where we start with people to build them back up. Because everybody has dreams and ambitions. And it's not to say I couldn't be a doctor. I suppose in my limited time left on this earth, I might even be able to achieve that. But for right now, to get me out of the homeless shelter, I should do this, you know, whatever this is. And let's get people on the right track. But faith in God is the glue. It's the glue that holds it all together, Tommy.
Very personal story. I had a very, very, very close friend of mine who I didn't know was struggling with alcoholism. Saw the performance in his life kind of taking a nosedive and got to the point where he was despondent, nowhere to go, rock bottom, and helped him check into a place to get help. And I'll never forget the first time going to visit him when he had been taught to pray for the first time.
Powerful.
And I sat down with him, and you know, and I guess I didn't ever assume or think about the fact that this friend of mine had never prayed to God. And I remember walking in and sitting down with him and saying, how are you doing? And he looked at me and just looked different. And he said, you know, I prayed for the first time. I felt something.
Yeah.
I'll bet you have hundreds of those same stories.
Yeah,
but and for him, he articulated on day one, being in that inpatient facility, for the first time in my life, I feel like it's not just me
that has to
dig me out of this hole. There's someone that's going to dig me out of this hole.
That's
and
right.
It's a Heavenly Father that loves me.
That's right.
It was powerful for me. And I walked away thinking, my goodness, I wish I would have suggested that earlier, not assumed that he was praying.
Yeah.
But it was a powerful reminder to me of the importance of a higher being in our life.
But Tommy, that's the thing. We always do an assumption. Everybody knows here, and it's been on Dateline. My mom's a 3-time recovering drug addict. This November 26th, she's 8 years clean of hard drugs. And Roscoe and I were talking about, RB and I were talking about, I come to the conclusion that I was saying that you have to have leadership without ego, E-G-O. And my definition of ego is exiting God out. Mm. And so many of us hear submission. So many of us hear it's his will. My mom struggled with that. She's like, oh, bull crap. I checked
well done.
It. Yeah, bull crap, it's this. My mom's
Reverend
this
Billy,
mom.
Turned another leaf right before your eyes.
Right before your
eyes. It's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. My mom, you know, she wants to just say, I can do this. I said, Mom, listen, you got to start having a life without ego. And every time you exit God out, same thing. As soon as she went, whoa, I just have a conversation with them, things change.
Yeah.
So I think even for our listeners, once again, the two of you guys have different callings, not your choices, but by God's grace and will.
Amen.
But each one of you are innovators and changing lives, but through example, not through talk.
Love it. Let's get to, with this platform we have, if someone's out there that doesn't know the rescue missions, what they do, the services, the potential for service or giving, just walk us through opportunities that are for our listeners to get involved.
Well, the first thing I'll say is BoiseRM.org.
Love
because
it.
If you go to our website, you'll find out a lot of everything you'll want to know about the rescue mission.
There it is right up there.
So, so we've got it pulled up here. So get involved, right?
Yeah, get involved, and you'll
so
find
holiday
every,
volunteer
opportunity,
events.
Yeah, and my saying is, one of my favorite sayings is, if you have a gift, a talent, a skill, and you need a place to share it, we have a place for you. And at the same time, if you have been blessed and you've got a superabundance and some disposable income, we have a place for you.
Yeah.
Because we don't take any government funding. We're totally funded through the generous people of the Valley, the community, the state, and even beyond.
Wow.
So people can give. And you can give online. There's a place there to do that, too. But we have a multitude of programs today. We have a drug and alcohol recovery program, a legitimate, rock-solid drug and alcohol recovery program. We're always looking for people who are in recovery, and some who might have a CADAC, a certification in recovery. We're always looking for those people to come alongside of us and teach a class, give a lecture, you know, things like that. You can be as involved as you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
You can come in one time and give a motivational talk, Troy McClain, and I'll give you a whole group of men and women to hear you. And that's it.
Done.
Or you can come back and do that on a quarterly basis, monthly basis, whatever you think is appropriate.
Yeah.
And we have financial planners who do the same thing. One of my great friends is Dave Petzo.
Yeah.
You know Dave. Dave comes down and does a class on finance and budget and things like that. Dr. Pete Crabb from NNU does the same thing. So you can come in and do things like that on a sporadic basis, on a regular basis. You can come in and serve meals. And one of the best ways to get to know the rescue mission is show up and serve a meal.
Yeah.
Register, of course, ahead of time. Come down and serve a meal. And when you're in that food line and you're putting that scoop of potatoes on someone's plate and you hear that sincere thank you from that person, it really motivates and inspires you. You've done it, Tommy. You've been in the food line and serve people.
I've done it, and that's what I'm telling you. It's so authentic.
Yeah.
You go out there and you serve, or you know, and there's lots of things you can drop off supplies every fall, as winter comes. The supplies that are needed are things that you may not even be thinking of that are super easy. There's a lot of families out there that are looking for projects, or how do we inspire our children to give back to serve? There's no better way than just it's so easy. You make it so easy to give. You
well,
make it
thank
so
you.
Easy to connect to people that want it.
Thank you.
And
we
people
try.
Get so, I think for those that are listening, the innovators out there, their head gets too, they're like, I want to do so much, I want to do so much.
Yeah.
And then they don't do anything because they can't find the one thing to do.
You know what I've always said, and several years ago, I was doing some service, and I had a mentor, and I'll never forget it. We were in a home of someone that really needed help, okay? And as we went to leave, I said something that I stopped saying. I said, if there's anything we can ever do for you, let us know. We walked out to the car, and I'll never forget this brother. He looked over at me and he said, don't ever say that again. He said, the world is full of people that say, let me know when I can come do something for you.
Wow.
He said, change that to when you see a need, however big or small, and this was his point. You should have walked out of that home, that living room, and said, that family needs this, whatever that is, and then go do it.
Huh.
And if you ever find yourself asking, what can I do for you, or call me, or let me know, stop yourself and just go do it. And he said,
Turn it into an action item.
And don't ask. Just he says, you're smart enough to know.
Yeah.
You just left that family room. You know what they need. You know. And then his point was, he got pretty spiritual. He said, you know, say a prayer. Ask what they need and let just go do something for them.
I love that.
And boy, every time I've stopped doing that in my life, I always think of that moment when I was taught, and I was well intended going in there. It's not that you're not well intended, but what a lesson. Go do, take an action item, don't wait to be asked.
Get off the sidelines and get in the field of giving.
Yeah. Into the fray.
Yeah, into the fray. Absolutely. Hey,
Reverend Bill, we're not going to get into this because we could have a whole podcast on this, but I want the listeners to realize one other, he's not even mentioning this today, but for me in the ER for years, one of the biggest needs in our community is very, very ill homeless people. Hmm. So think about this, really? Troy. If you're discharged from a hospital or an ER and you're sick, critically sick, not needing hospitalization, but in you're in extreme illness,
right?
And I discharge you, and you don't have a home to go to. Now, in any medical professionals listening out there, when someone comes into the hospital or into the ER, when you discharge them, you write on the bottom of the sheet, discharge, and then where to. Discharge to home, discharge to the hospital, discharge. It's a formal way and a paperwork of saying where they went. So for years, it always got me when you would write at the bottom of the paper, discharge home, and send someone into the room knowing there's
no home.
There's no home. Out on the street, and you know, you work either 8 or 12 hour shifts, and many times on the same shift, that person would come back in, not because of a fault of their own, but how are you supposed to go out? Think of a night tonight, like tonight, this week, under an overpass, in a park, without a home, anywhere to go, with an acute medical problem. Reverend Bill, so here's action instead of thinking about it. His dream was to create the Recovery Lodge, which opened in Nampa this summer, which now has beds, acute beds, for people in our community who are homeless, have acute medical needs.
RB.
they've had their ribbon cutting. It's a beautiful facility. It's just one of the programs they do. We'll need ongoing funding. We'll need ongoing volunteers. But in just a couple minutes, anything that our listeners can do for the Recovery Lodge, which is just one of your programs.
Well, pray for us, all of you who are people of faith. Pray for us. It's another tough ministry. It's a really tough ministry. And what do we need? We need volunteers over there. And if you have a medical background of any shade, we can use you as a volunteer at the Recovery Lodge, because we're filling up. I think yesterday we had 18 people in there with 4 children, and it's got room for twice that many. And we're growing it slowly because we don't want to be overwhelmed ourselves.
Where's it located?
It's in Nampa. It's right next to our Valley Women and Children Shelter on Corporate Lane.
On Corporate Lane in Nampa.
Of Midland. Yeah. So we need volunteers, but we need funding. You know, we will need funding, ongoing funding for that project. That's an expensive venture. Everything we do seems to be expensive these days, and we need funding for that project as well. But prayer and volunteers would be a great help. And we're looking for staff. We're recruiting for that particular facility. So if you're a CNA or a RN or a retired doctor, any medical training specifically, and you'd like to work there, we'd love to have you. And on the other hand, if you are a Christian person and you want to give back and serve, and you're willing to be paid weekly, very weekly, as we do at the Rescue Mission, then come on down or go online, get an application.
Is that W-E-A-K?
That's right. Yeah. It's a trick, you know, when we're hiring. Oh, yeah, we pay weekly.
I love it.
And then they learn very weekly. But online again, boiserm.org, you can do an employment application right there, and we'll take a good look at you. So those are the needs that we have.
So boiserm.org, again, we could talk to you for hours.
I appreciate the time. Thank you.
I have a couple more things to get to, though. Mm-hmm. If I say the word to you, Reverend Bill, as I know you, the word grace, what does that word mean to you?
Well, it means, first, what I have received in extraordinary proportion from God and then from a lot of people throughout my life. It means that I can pick it up and keep going, and I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to be always right. I just have to have faith, love, and compassion for people. And with that, I'll be giving grace and receiving grace, and that's ultimately important to all of us who are breathing on this earth. There isn't enough grace in this world. There's too much unkindness and too much hardness. We need more grace. But ultimately, the grace that comes from God, I'm so thankful every day when I wake up. People tell me sometime, the folks at the Rescue Mission that are homeless, they're getting what they deserve. Well, I'm so thankful when I wake up in the morning that I'm not getting what I deserve according to the Scripture, according to the Word of God. I get grace every single day. And so,
'cause it says by the grace.
By the grace of God. And so when I wake up in the morning and I say, oh, thank you, Lord, that I'm so blessed. You've shown me so much grace and kindness. What else should I do but to go out and show grace and kindness? Yeah. I have to do that. And I have to determine to do that. And it's hard sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, people get in your face and people threaten you and people, people call you names and people slander you.
The country kid
fired the country kid's fired up now, man.
You know, it's easy to strike back, right? It's easy to be mean. It's a lot harder to be kind.
Yeah,
but when you're the recipient of so much grace as I am, the least I can do is be a graceful man.
Amen. I love it. Here's what I like to ask.
You're a man of grace too, Tommy Alquist.
Well, hey, we just are all trying.
And you are. And you see, you're trying. And that's what we have to do. We have to determine we're going to be this way.
Yeah.
And we are.
As we wrap this up, here's what I'd like to ask. And you brought it up. And it reminded me again of my mom. Everybody asks, like, well, I don't know how to pray, so they don't pray.
Yeah.
How to either. And because you're a man of faith. I always struggled with it too before I found my moment of clarity. How do I pray? How do we tell this? Like, where do you start?
I start by addressing God as who He is, Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. I almost always say that, or Dear Lord, but recognize that you're speaking to God. That's really important.
Okay.
And then I talk to Him because He's my Father, and there's a word in the Scripture where God is referred to. Jesus taught His disciples to use the word, now I lost it, Daddy. Mm-hmm. It's a Hebrew word for daddy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's the word that He taught His disciples to use in relationship to God. And so I think of Him that way. I think of Him as my spiritual Heavenly Father, my daddy in heaven.
Yeah.
And He's good, and He's kind, and He's right, and He's nothing but love continually. So I talk to Him, knowing Him with those characteristics, I talk to Him that way. And I pray about my day like I would be praying, I might have a conversation with you, except that it's directed to God.
Yeah.
Lord, today I'm going to do this podcast with Tommy and Troy. I need some wisdom in that. God, grant me wisdom. Grant me clarity of speech. Just help me, God, to do a good job with that to Your glory. And He hears and answers. I mean, here I am, and you think I'm something. And I mean, you know, come on.
Let me add one more. I'll add a quick story to this. I wasn't planning on going there because it gets kind of personal. But one of the things I was able to do for a while in our church was when missionaries would get home from their service, I would be able to go to their homes and greet them right when they got home. And it was always a very, very tender moment because they'd been gone for a couple of years. They hadn't seen their family. Mm. Emotions were high. And it was just the highlight because of the tenderness that would happen there. But I went to this one home, and there was this missionary that came back, and he had just arrived. In fact, I was waiting in the driveway when they arrived home. And they walked in, and we sat down, and I looked at him as he sat there with his family in this very nice home, and his pants, the knees on his pants, were completely worn. Almost no holes, still looked nice, but you could just tell when they were almost there.
Yeah.
And then as he sat and crossed his legs, his shoes there was almost nothing left. and these were some heavy, you know, walking shoes, and there were almost nothing left. And as I sat there watching him that night, and as I walked away, I felt and I talked about this afterwards. There's something you can learn about prayer. It was clear that missionary had spent a lot of time on his knees, and that's where we should be.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
But the answers to those prayers come on our feet.
That's right.
And so it's not just the knees that need to get worn down. It's the shoes and the feet. So my advice to anyone out there that would be struggling with whatever in their life, wear out your knees. Wear out your knees praying. But then remember the answer to those prayers are going to come on your feet as you serve others. Most answers to our prayers in my life and in most people's lives come as you serve other people on your feet.
Tommy. That's a great sermon, Tommy Alquist.
Well, Tommy Alquist.
I made a mental note here. I'm going to be writing that sermon.
Tommy Gunn.
It was a power. I'll never forget
it's
that
true.
Night.
It's true.
Where the answer comes. Now, I'll tell you one other thing. It's really, really hard when you're with someone that's going through really real struggles in their life, and they become pretty self aware of their problems, and they look inward. It's me. It's I'm going through this. To say to them, go find someone to serve, because the answers to your prayers are going to come as you serve others. But that's what you represent for us, Reverend Bill. An enormous outlet for us to go show service and grace and to help others, and by so doing, maybe even find some answers to our own prayers.
Amen.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the greatest Thanksgiving podcast
we've ever done.
That is awesome. Reverend Bill, thank you very much for being on the Inspire Excellence podcast.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom,
you,
your
TM.
Faith. TMRB.
Reverend Bill, God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you, Tommy. And thanks for all you do in this big community of ours. You're all over the place, and we all appreciate you. Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Tommy and Troy and Reverend Bill with Inspire Excellence.
You've been listening to the Inspire Excellence podcast. We invite you to find something that inspires you this week. Join us again for our next episode.
Holy Toledo.
Tommy, man, my chair automatically dropped. Like when you started talking, I was like, what?